Welcome to Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills and Doc Turner. This podcast is all about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
Okay, BTT podcast fans, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Booking the Territory, where this week I'm going to sit back and talk to one of my best friends in the wrestling industry, and he is current independent wrestling star, Brian Falcon, a.k.a. the Beast Minotaur. Brian and I go way back, and he's going to tell his story about how he got into the wrestling business, what he's got going on now, and some of his experiences during his time in the independents. He also worked a few times for WWE as an extra when they have run shows near New Orleans, Louisiana, or in New Orleans, Louisiana, which he lives near. But before we get into our discussion where Brian's going to tell us all about that, y'all know I got to say thanks to our sponsors of the podcast. And first off, I just want to say thanks to Jason Smith, who is your trusted Farmers Insurance advisor. Jason works in the Dallas-Fort Worth or DFW area and can help you out with all of your insurance needs in the state of Texas, whether that's auto, home, commercial, life, and health. Even if you have a Farmers agent, which I had, still contact Jason for a free assessment and quote. And I'll give you an example why. I had a Farmers agent, but that did not stop me from saving $400 a year on my home coverage via Jason. So contact Jason directly at 972-834-2516. You can also email him at jason@goodguyllc.com. And if you missed any of that information, just head on over to the Book in the Territory podcast page where you can find all of his contact information there. Also want to say thank you to TNA's Wrestling Palace, our longtime sponsor, original sponsor of the show, located in Traders Village, also in the DFW area. Give my buddy Arturo a call over there at 469-337-8537. He is your one-stop shop for all of your wrestling memorabilia needs. And even if you don't live in Dallas, Texas, he can still ship to you no matter where you're at in the world. So give him a call. Also, you might want to check them out on Facebook as well. They have a Facebook page. That's TNA's Wrestling Palace. Also want to say thanks to Better Choices, which was co-founded by healthy lifestyle coaching duo Eric and Malika Beal of New Orleans, Louisiana. When it comes to healthy lifestyle tips, recipes, meal planning, motivation and support, or personal healthy lifestyle coaching, they are your vehicle to get there. The thing about Eric and Malika, they both lost a combined 300 pounds, and they've kept it off for over 9 years now. So connect with them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. It's at Better Choices CO, and also on their website, www.betterchoices.co. I believe they do their free consultation the first go around. So connect with them if you have, no matter if you have 5 pounds to lose or 105 pounds to lose, or even more, give them a call. They'll be able to help you out. Great people. They also have a podcast now if you want to check that out. Really good information about living a healthy lifestyle, and it is free, just like this one, thanks to the sponsors such as Jason Smith, such as TNA's Wrestling Palace, and Better Choices. So thank you to all of them. Now that I took care of that business with our wonderful sponsors, hopefully by this point, if you're listening to this program, you're already following us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. And at Mike504Saints. I really appreciate the follows. Our numbers are growing and the downloads are growing. So that tells me that you are enjoying the show and spreading the word. So thank you very, very much for doing so. Also, give us a like on Facebook. That's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Give us a like there because that's where we post all of our weekly episodes along with on mikemills.podbean.com. Use Facebook and Twitter to submit your weekly show topics as well. We got a ton this week. I'm hoping we can get through them all. It's getting to the point where I may have to start filtering out some just because I don't know if we have enough time to get through all of the questions and comments and topics that you all are submitting. We are jam-packed this week after my interview and discussion with Brian Falcon, the Beast Minotaur. So, man, just keep them coming. We enjoy them. We appreciate you, sending them in, whether it's WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, whatever you want to talk about. Please do so. Throw it out there. We will use it as a topic as long as we have the time. So just keep that in mind weekly. Make sure you submit those to me by Monday night, Tuesday morning. That's on Twitter or Facebook. It doesn't really matter. Just send them in. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean.com, or on Stitcher to get our weekly episodes and make sure you're already downloaded automatically. So like I was saying, my guest today is my old friend, Brian Falcon, a.k.a. the Beast Minotaur. Me and this dude go way, way back. from when he first got started, started a little bit after me when I was working the indies. And it's just, he's got a, you know, his story is just, it's unique like many, but it's the same as so many who work the independents. But Brian's a really, really, really good dude. I've known him, his family for a long time, and I think you'll appreciate his story. Again, he's not a mega superstar. He's not a Michael Tarver. He's not a John Cena. He's not these guys on Monday Night Raw every week, but he is beating the concrete every weekend in the car, running and ripping the roads, working independent shows, and he loves what he does, and he's going to continue doing it probably until the wheels fall off. So, man, you know, I screw with you all the time, Minotaur, Falcon, but yeah, you know I got nothing but love for you, man. we just go so far back, it's not funny. After the Beast Minotaur and I wrap up, it is time for Doc Turner, Hard Body Harper, as long as Harper doesn't have tech issues again, and myself to insult each other as we address your Twitter and Facebook comments from this week in wrestling. And do not be surprised if we go off on a tangent given the events in the NFL this weekend and on Monday night, more controversy. I know that's not wrestling related, but it ties into wrestling because the NFL is nothing but a fucking work, people. Okay, now that I got that out the way, that's even with the Saints winning. Yes, it's still a work. So now that I got that out of the way, hopefully you all will enjoy this discussion, and then you'll love listening to Harper, Doc Turner, and myself talk about the week that was in wrestling. So let me throw it over right now to myself and independent star, the Beast Minotaur, followed by Hardbody Harper, myself, and Doc Turner. Hang tight, fans.
God damn, that West Bank education, you can't figure out how to put a conference code call in, huh, bastard? Son of a bitch.
First of all, let me tell you, you got to take it off a speaker before you can enter the access code. I just figured that one out.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm talking about. A goddamn West Bank education in New Orleans, that's the type of shit you do when you go to school on the West Bank.
I'm trying to hold this thing and have a professional interview with you. Yeah, it didn't work.
Ain't nothing going to be professional about this shit. Have you listened to any of them? They're not professional.
If it's you, Chalmette, I know. Believe me.
I'm not from Chalmette. Nah, don't even get that shit straight. I got worldwide listeners, and that's not a joke, man. I see where the downloads come from. We got a worldwide audience, man. And I ain't from Chalmette. I can get that shit straight. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
The brain-eating amoeba is in the water in Chalmette.
It don't shock me. That's why them motherfuckers fucked up. Nah, they've been drinking amoeba water their whole life.
When there's no brains in Chalmette.
I don't fucking know. Well, I mean, just because they have a brain don't mean they know how to use it. There's a difference.
What's going on, boy?
Nothing. So I don't usually see. Usually, man, you know, when I do this, I don't want to say I don't know the person, but I don't know their. I don't know a lot about their background. I mean, but with you, I'm gonna let you tell your little shit story, your way how you got into the business. Yeah. since people that are listening, they probably like, what are they talking about? So the background is I've known the Minotaur. I almost said it. I've known the Minotaur for I don't know, probably since like 1999 or so. So probably of the people still left in the business that I know that I was around and worked with, one of the longest, next to maybe like what the hell is Herman going by now? Super something? Bat stand? I don't even know. I don't want to disrespect him when I say that.
Just say stand. Okay. And everybody understands that.
Okay. So like him and a few other people flopping around still, John Saxon, you know, that I worked with back in the day. So, but next to them, Mark, not necessarily, because he definitely, I met him before you. But next to them, you're next. So, yeah, me and Minotaur know each other for quite a long time, many, many years, since about 98, 99. So I'm going to let him tell his little story, about how he got into the wrestling business and how he's still flopping around the ring to this day, even as old as he is, with his Geritol ass. Would you have groin surgery? I'm confused. You hernia? Yeah. What happened to you,
I had
baby?
Hernia surgery.
You pussy.
I was out. They sat me out for 4 months, and I returned, had one little match, decent match against Trucker Jones. And then they said, well, next week we're growing you to the wolves. And they gave me Bordell Walker last night.
So we're going to get to that in a second because we're recording this on August 23rd, and this isn't going to air for an hour. So I mean, for an hour, for a month. With that said, go ahead and tell your story.
Just the way I got in?
The way you got in, I mean, it can be give the shoot version without names if you must. I know what the deal is. I don't want to cause no trouble. I already get enough goddamn hate mail from people down in your neck of the woods about why am I supporting this product versus this product. Hey, man, I ain't got nothing against nobody. I ain't had nobody contact me that works for those products. So
yeah,
that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, we take
it. So, I mean, I ain't got nothing against nobody. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's people in the business that I'm not going to say I support, but you ain't going to hear me talking bad about them on air. That's just my prerogative. But anyway, no, go ahead and tell your story.
Well, my story started off like anybody else. Just I was a kid, loved wrestling, watched it with my dad. Growing up, always wanting to be that. Well, as you get older, things happen, and, you know, you just stop thinking about it. And I actually stopped watching wrestling for a while. Then I started back up, and my dad got sick, dying of cancer, and I lost my best friend, and something just clicked in my head saying, you know, life's too short, not to do what you want. So watching TV one day, saw a commercial for one of the local organizations running. Said, why not? Got in touch with them. Got some tickets, asked about training. And the guy told me Tommy Martinelli. He told me he didn't have really a training school, but, you know, to see what we can do, he was going to try to get a ring set up and see if he can get him and some other guys to come in and help train. And it's a little easy to get some practice in anyway. So that's what we did to start out doing that. And I really didn't come in this business like a lot of guys are nowadays. A lot of guys have schools they go to and practice every, you know, 3-4 times a week. I didn't come in that way. I came in the hard way. As soon as I trained maybe 2 nights, learned how to bump, learned how to lock up, and I went with him to a show in Florida, and they saw me and said, hey, can we use him? And I was like, no, can't use me. I don't know how to bump and lock up. That's all we need. The mother said, come on, Tommy. Tommy was like, no, he can't. But they talked me into it. I was a nervous wreck. I had a pair of shorts, a T-shirt, and tennis shoes that I came there with, and that was it. Walking to the ring as Big John from the backwoods of Alabama and came out to Sweet Home, Alabama.
Alabama, of all places. God,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah. But I went in there. I did a little smiles with this guy. We locked up. He beat me around for a little bit, and then manager threw powder on my eyes and rolled me up 1, 2, 3. He beat me. The ref gets up, sees the powder in my eyes, reverses the decision. I win my first match. You know, but I mean, after that, it wasn't any training at all. It was basically before shows, you know, in between shows. Hey, go out to the ring and do your best, kid. And that's basically what I did. I mean, a lot of guys took me under their wing and helped me out a lot. I mean, you one of them, you know. Early on, it was Al Savage, you know, Joe, Jason, you know, Steve Anthony, all kinds of guys just taking me under their wing and helping me out a little bit. And my first 5 years were horrendous. And then it was horrible trying to learn and get everything down pat. And it was horrible, but I finally got through it and, you know, just started going at it.
Yeah, I didn't, you probably never heard Magnum TA's story. I don't want to say it's the same as yours. It's similar, believe it or not, for people that listen, they're like, well, I mean, I say similar because I'll have people listen and they'll say, it's not the same. It's not the same, but it's similar. He had kind of a similar thing where he, I think, paid a guy to train, but the guy kind of took his money. But in the long run, like literally he worked out like once in a ring and then they threw him into a match. No shit. This is exactly what happened. So
yeah, but back in the
day,
way back then, that's how it was.
Well, not all the time.
I didn't do it like that.
But
back in you and I's day, before us, Magnum TA days.
Yes.
A lot of guys.
Yes and no. Yes and no. But even for Magnum, he was saying on his interview I was listening to that it was still pretty rare what happened to him.
Yeah.
And I say that to say, like, it's amazing when you think about it. You're like, what? No, you did what? How did you even go out there? Because, I mean, I trained for months before I had a match. I mean, months on end, bumping. And, right. And I mean, it was freaking intense. I got my ass beat for, I mean, I lost track of how many months I got my ass beat. But so I didn't really, I knew that later on down the line. We worked together sometime in like 2000, I think it was. And yeah, that would have been in that first couple of years for you. And I never even knew at that point I had been 5 years in. You were really kind of just right. Starting. Yeah. And I didn't even know. So, yeah, when you say that, you're like,
now, Do I agree with it? No, I don't. I feel that you should train for a long time before you step foot in that ring. I mean, you should pay dues. And, I mean, that's just how I feel. The way I came in was completely – out of the box that you just didn't go in that way. But, I mean, I kind of had it was hard way in, but it was kind of easier for me because I didn't get my ass kicked, you know, for every training session. You know, everybody wasn't taking their liberties out on me, you know, if you want to say it that way. Yeah, you know, so, but I got it in matches. I know that.
Yeah, well, it's different, too. Like, you're a lot bigger than I am, so – for you to go in there at 6'5". How tall are you? I forget. I know a lot taller than me.
But
yeah, at 6'5".
I was 350 back then. You know, I'm a lot better.
Well, that's my point. At 6'5", 350, it's a whole lot easier to take you and throw you out there than 5'8". And when I started, I was probably around 230 when I started. But at 5'8", 230, it's a lot easier to put the 6'5" guy out there that's 350.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty simple. But, no, I knew that, and that's why I wanted you to tell the listeners, you know, where you started, how you started, who you worked for. I know originally you spent a lot of time down in South Louisiana, branched out from there, Texas, you know, the Gulf Coast, and pretty much up until this day, what you, about 18 years in now? How many years are you
15,
in now?
15.
15. Okay, yeah. 15. I'm 15, 16. I'm
I started 98, so probably about 16.
Okay. So you're in and out, and you're just coming off a hernia, you pussy.
If it matters anything, I dealt with the hernia for about a year. So, I mean,
dealt with it for a year. Let me get my violin out and stroke it a little bit.
Man, the amount of work that I do, you know, I know you sit behind a desk at the house and everything and work at home. Physically doing hard labor every day for 12 hours a day, you know, it gets to you after a while. And then trying to go to the gym afterwards, and it kind of wears on you. That's what I know you don't do much physical activity anymore, except for the gym.
I work out, yeah. No, man. Okay, I'm just fucking with you. But.
Dude, somebody messaged me this morning. This guy. He trained with y'all back in the day. The guy Stratton, Ryan Stratton.
Oh yeah, Ryan. Go ahead, and I'll tell you how I know him.
Well, he hit me up and he said, "Hey, get in touch with Mike Mills. This guy, Mike Mills. I don't know if you know him or nothing.
You don't know if I know him."
I said, "Mike Mills is one of my best friends in this business, man. I mean, I've been friends with him for years. And you know, funny story, how that came about. You know where I'm going with this."
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we can stay away from that shit.
You and I were supposed to be, like, enemies. We were supposed to hate each other because you came into business with Debussy.
Oh, God, please don't remind me. I don't give him credit for that, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, came in with in the business. I mean, I don't give Tommy for training me because everybody pretty much. I mean, I give Tommy credit for bringing me in and you know, giving me the first training and everything. But along with he and everybody else, you know, got me where I am today. But you know, with Tommy and Don hating each other as much as they did, you and I hit it off right off the bat. It was just funny. I still picture it to this day when Don called to book me and you didn't know about it.
He told me that day I was working out in the gym. He's a brother. Well, by that point, I think, Rod was training at the school. from what I recall, and because you know the ring was at the gym, and yeah. And he told me about 10 minutes before you walked in, brother, you know that big redhead guy, freaking Martinelli broke in, like Brian Falcon. He called me and I can't do his voice, but he called me. He's gonna be on a show and blah 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 blah. Like, oh okay. And I was working out when you walked in the gym, and but he was. I remember him going like, oh yeah, you know. I was like, yeah, we get along. I mean, we ain't got no heat, me and him. I mean, we cool. Oh okay. Anyway, yeah, it was something like that. It was a long time ago.
The day he booked me against Kevin Northcutt in a hardcore match in Chalmette, something I would never fucking do again. Especially now.
Yeah, he beat your ass. That's for damn sure. Well,
me and Eric Goff, he beat the shit out of us.
Yep, I've been there, done that in Chalmette before.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was funny though. Yeah, that was funny because yeah, I guess those two still don't. Well, no, they took a picture together, didn't they? They in love now? Man, didn't they see each other and take a picture?
Yeah, no one of the shows.
Ah, that's hilarious. I don't know if he listens to this, but he pissed that. I'm not talking about Martinelli, Debussy.
Yeah, it is funny though.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so Fred's first 5 years, and then I know the next 5 years, you know, just working independent and doing things. And then you go ahead and talk about the, if you want, like, I know you did some extra WWE stuff too.
Yeah,
before you were an extra, right?
Well, my gimmick had changed from, you know, just Minotaur without a mask to a Minotaur with a mask. And it's funny because Saxon looked at me one day and was like, brother, you look. Bring your character out and put a mask on. Lose some weight, put a mask on. And I'm like,
Hold on. I got to stop you for a second. Brother, let me tell you something. Mark walks out the dressing room. God damn, it got quiet in here. Mark, if you're listening, I'm sorry, brother. It's the truth.
He knows. He really knows about it.
God damn, I'm a fucking talk. But anyway, go ahead. Proceed.
I avoided him for, I want to say, about a year of you know, just him. Okay, you're full of shit. And one day we were at a show in Greenville, Mississippi, and he takes a mask out of his bag and he throws it at him. He says, here, wear this tonight. I want you to heal. Okay, Mark, put it on. And as soon as I walked out that curtain, just the looks on people's faces and the reaction I got, and a 6'5", 300-pound guy come walking out the curtain with a mask on is just completely evil. And I just got this reaction from the fans that were just, they were scared to death. So I was like, God damn it, he's right. So that's you know, I put the mask on, and I actually started getting booked a lot more, and you know, because the character became a character, you know, it I had something behind it now, and
yeah.
I just started going more places and everything, and I guess get more noticed, and got a phone call from Luke Hawks to be an extra at WWE. I think it was in New Orleans. I think it was a 2-day shot in New Orleans, and no. It was Lake Charles and Baton Rouge, and Lake Charles one night, Baton Rouge the next night, and we just did the extra thing. It was pretty cool. It was a good experience, really good experience. Got to get in the ring and mess around a little bit with some of the guys, and got Tony Atlas to chop me. I did it 3 or 4 times for him. It was fun. It was a good experience. It lets you definitely gives you the behind the scenes look at everything and get to kind of pick some guys, some people's brains. That would give you the time of day, you know. So it was pretty cool. It was good.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. No, I don't fault anybody that just to see it and experience it. Most indie guys never get a chance to. So
we kind of got in the ring and rolled around a little bit and did some things. And Jamie Noble, that little 4-foot guy, told me that, you know, he likes the stuff I do. They were worried about my age, my weight, this, that, and the other, and you know, just I got married, got 2 kids, and, you know, I have to think about all that. And I'm like, listen, we can cross that bridge when we get to it. And, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
for real.
I don't think they were really looking at me to bring me anywhere, but they would, you know, he was just kind of complimenting me on, yeah, for, you know, bigger guy, your moves are pretty good. And I guess he just, you know, the character wasn't there because I didn't have, for some reason, when you put that mask on, that's when your character really comes out. I guess I didn't really impress him too much, but. Yeah, I got the experience. That's all I was happy about. I got the experience of something that a lot of guys that don't ever get the experience while they're in the wrestling business.
And you were in your mid-30s, mid to late-30s by then, right?
Yeah, I was like 35, 36, yeah.
Yeah. See, that is unfortunately a downside to
Because, I mean, they really pretty much wanted jacked, ripped guys, you know. And, I see a turn now because back in the day, you know, you had your King Kong Bundys, your Betas, who wasn't all jacked and ripped and everything like every single wrestler is today.
Yep.
You know, but you see, you right now, if you're watching WWE, you see that change. There's a change coming where characters are getting more important.
I'll give you an example. Kevin Owens.
Yep.
Straight up. Look what he wears.
Yep, a T-shirt.
It ain't far from what I used to wear.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's got the same color boots and shorts, and the shirt's different. But anyway,
point. I saw it back with what's his name? The guy that comes out Atlanta.
The guy comes out what?
With the Atlanta.
Oh, Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, yeah. You've seen the change with him, with his character. You know, I think that's where it all started, to start changing back in the characters. And you just slowly but surely just, like with the Tough Enough, that ZZ guy, it's from here. He's what people like. You know, they're trying to make people hate this guy. And, I mean, you've been in the business. You know what it takes to get in the business. I mean, I don't agree getting him in as easy. I mean, I don't know. It's just it's hard to explain because you know what I'm trying to say.
But no, I mean, from what I gather about the ZZ guy, I don't know. I don't know the backstory, but from what I gather about the ZZ guy, he really wasn't in the wrestling business. He was some alligator wrestler dude. And
well, he did a few reality TV shows and everything. So he's kind of the reality show people. He's familiar with them. But he's just the type of guy that everyday Joe wants to be in a wrestling business. He's the guy.
Right.
He's the guy that everybody sees. And they are trying so hard to make the people hate him. And the more they do that, they're making the people love him.
No, of course.
So it's weird because he's got this character. He's got this thing about himself. And, you know, not everybody that wants to get in WWE is jacked up, muscular, ripped.
Yeah, right.
Everybody looks the same. Everybody's tired. I think people, America, the fans, and that's one thing I base my whole career around. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you think about the way I look. If I go out there and the fans react and the fans keep coming back to see me, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, and that's what the fans like. You know, and that's they're going to get it.
I agree. Yeah, I don't know like I said, I don't know the whole backstory to that guy. I just know that from everything that I read, there's a lot of people down in Louisiana, but just everywhere, who basically said, this guy got in, you know, there's reputable people who applied and they never got a chance. And that's the part about it I don't like. I don't really knock him. Hell, I'd take the opportunity too if they just threw it at me go out there and act a fool and not act a fool, but put on a performance.
As a wrestler's point of view, knowing what it takes to get into WWE, he's completely opposite of what you're used to being put into your head. What needs to go to WWE?
It's a complete contradiction.
So as a wrestler's point of view, man, I can't believe he's going to make it in there, and here I am still sitting on the sideline who actually knows how to work, you know. And
yeah,
as a fan, I'm thinking that dude would be the best person to go to WWE. You know, it's weird.
No, I know what you mean. It's just that's the business, though. Unfortunately, there's a million guys out there who deserve a shot right now that aren't getting a shot because there's only so many slots. That's actually what I like about as bad as I've been knocking TNA on my show lately, but as bad as TNA has been and some of the other promotions, it's still good that there's ROHs out there and TNAs, that there's a place for guys to go to. Jim Ross always says that, and I completely agree. Because, you know, back in the day, like when we were, well, when we were growing up, it was territory days, hence the name Booking the Territory for the show. But back in the day, you know, the guys had somewhere to go where, you know, I talk about this ad nauseum. There's nowhere for the guys to go now besides pretty much WWE. I mean, TNA is open and they're paying people. And Ring of Honor, from what I understand, does have guys on under contract where that's, you know, they can work. I think they can work indies, but they can't work like other TV, like WWE or TNA. However, you know, still the ultimate goal is WWE is where, quote unquote, the big money's made. But I do like the fact that there's other promotions where guys can make money. But there's still, even at that, man, there's a lot more guys out there who can make a living at it, that there's just not enough spots out there on big time rosters for them to do so.
Yeah.
When you got a guy like ZZ who is in it and, you know, got this prime spot, it makes guys like, you know, who 20-year ring vets who've been kicking around the indies and are actually talented, they're like, man, I'm busting my ass and I can't get a break, and this dude out here freaking gets, you know, throwed a golden egg.
Yep. I mean, that's what the show's about, but still.
It's reality TV bullshit. I mean, it's not far off from Kim, from Kardashian crap. So, I don't want to insult WWE like that, but yeah. It's reality TV. It's whatever. I ain't watched one episode of Tough Enough. I got people asking me about it, send messages. I'm like, I don't watch that crap. That ain't wrestling to me.
Well, I watch it because of my friend that I work with. We have a TV at work, but we don't have – it doesn't – like, there's no station, so he brings in tapes of WWE, and he brings in the Tough Enough, and we watch it. So, because they want to see my reaction to some of the things that Booker T and all them say.
Dude, I ain't seen 1 minute of it. No joke about that. Not 1 minute. Hey, so, okay, we're gonna switch the subject. I'm going to get you to talk about, so you got, you're working for Voodoo, you going to be working for Elite again? After you come back off your injury or what? Eventually?
Yeah, I mean, I'm back. I guess I'm just waiting for them to finish up some angles from, you know, to slip me back in.
All right. I got
don't know
you.
Exactly when, but.
Okay. No, that makes sense. I mean, they're running their own gig. So, you know, you've been doing what you're doing You've been out with an injury. They got to mix you in eventually. I can see how it goes. No, I only ask because, like, again, we're recording August 23rd, but this ain't going to air for a month. You got basically last night was what, Voodoo?
Yeah, Voodoo was Voodoo.
Okay. And you worked, who'd you work with?
Bordeaux.
Which I'm working on getting him on. I got to message him again. But go ahead. You said it was just a real, I don't want to say slow match, but, you know, just something that's building from what you were telling me. Is that correct?
Yeah. We, at first, actually, you know, like, you know how it is, being out for a while, you know you're going to have ring rust. So, I mean, I was really nervous the first time working Bordeaux, because Bordeaux's one of the top guys. I mean, I don't care. He's one of the top guys in the country. I don't care what anybody says.
Mm-hmm.
He is. And he's very professional, very awesome guy to work with. And I've worked him once in a tag, but we really didn't get to do much. But I've always wanted to work him. But here we are. I'm off for 4 months, and all of a sudden, hey, you got Bordeaux. Yeah, you can't wait. I mean, I was a little nervous with it, and I told him, hey, look, just, you know, let's just take it easy for a little bit. But in the process, I'm making a transition to a baby. So, I mean, if you know me, I've been a heel pretty much my whole career, and I'm trying to make a transition in a baby, and you know just as well as I do that babies and heels work completely differently. So
I can't stand being a goddamn baby.
I know. But as a heel, you can control things, you know, with people like
right.
You know, you can. It's a lot easier to just rick them in the eyes, throw them on the outside, and collect yourself. You can't do that as a baby.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, we did basic regular match. He bumped for me for the first opening, then we got cut off, and you know, basic match. And we did a double finish where he hooked me in a sleeper, and I fell on top of him, and then we bumped the ref. We had two refs. One was raising my hand to hit a three count, and the other one was on the outside of the apron counting Wardell's shoulders down. So we did a double thing because it was the number one contender for the title, which
gotcha.
Rodney Mack has the title, who was wrestling John Saxon that night for the title. So we were number one contender, and that got thrown out. And when Saxon and Rodney wrestled each other last night, Wardell came out to interfere, I came out behind them, big, huge riot, pull apart, and they set up for a four-way for the next show.
When's the next one?
Only at one time. September 13th. 12th.
All right,
12th,
so by the
12th.
All right. Oh, damn. By the time I had to plug it in, by the time this airs, that probably, well, no, that will have taken place by then.
Yeah, it's only three weeks.
Yeah, this will already be on the air. So, but it's a four-way at that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I have to just get the result from you and plug it on whenever I put the show out there. Yeah, I got you. So it's going to be you and Bordell and Saxon and Rodney?
Yeah, and Jazz is going to be refereeing. Let's see how good.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck. Hey, and just for anybody that's listening, we're talking about Rodney Mack from WWE and Jazz, WWE Women's Champion from years ago. So I'll be damned. Yeah. Well, I wonder how that's going to go. His wife is the ref.
Exactly.
Shit.
I've choked her out. I'll do it again.
What'd you say?
I said I choked her out once before. I'll do it again.
Man, you better be careful saying that around today's politically correct society, choking out a woman, dude. You
yeah,
end up in jail,
right.
Just even if it's a work.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't do nothing no more.
No.
You can't. I'm waiting for somebody. Yeah.
Pull up at my house any minute.
I'm waiting for somebody to knock on my door. Tell me I said something politically incorrect on freaking air. I'm like, oh, shit. Hey, every now and then we'll get into a political discussion. It's like, oh, goddamn, let's not go there. We don't want somebody knocking on our door. Please, no. But no, that's cool. So I know you were working with, like I said, Elite, Voodoo. Anybody else?
Wildcat.
Wildcat, I know it's been a while since you worked for them.
I'm trying to get back over to the Mobile area with Combat Pro and with Travis. You remember Travis?
I never met Travis back in the day. At least I don't think I did. If I did, I don't remember. But I know I think he follows the show. So but I know who he is. I know they run in Combat because I've gotten some texts from my Combat, not texts, but messages about Combat on Facebook and whatnot, and I see the shows, and I see I know what's his name? I'm drawing a blank. Shalmation Sensation. Him and Amaya J, they worked over there. Shit, when was that? I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago. Right.
It's a mix. He's got Ryan Ocean from Florida. He works there too. And they've got, remember Ethan Flex and Ricky Rocket and all that. They work there. Al Savage.
Oh yeah.
Al Savage is like the quiet guy in the back that's helping out too. So I mean, it's pretty good little shows that they're running. I'm trying to get back out there. I thought of that out in that area.
Which is crazy there. that he took you. That's where you got your start out in was it Mobile or was it some podunk Alabama town? I'm not trying to give Alabama people a hard time, but you know, you and I are we LSU fans.
It was sports.
We don't give Bayou La Batre. We don't give two shits about the Alabama Crimson Tide. To all my Alabama listeners, I ain't mad at you. I'm just sorry. I'm a Bengal. That's all. I'm a Bayou Bengal, and that's that.
I'm saying fucking Roll Tide. It's stupid.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know how many Facebook friends I got with that Roll Tide shit? I just scroll past it. I know sell it. I'm not even commenting on that bullcrap.
Yeah,
I don't have nothing to say. Maybe if Wade Garrett says something, I put it over, but then I come back with something. But other than that, the rest of them fools out there with that Roll Tide.
Wade Garrett.
Oh, God.
He's a Mississippi State fan, and he's putting Alabama stuff all over Facebook.
That some bitch posts something every day about that.
They got a tag team that's called Roll Tide that Elite's doing and everything. And I think that's the reason why they won't take me back yet, is because they know I'm going to legitimately shoot on the motherfuckers and kick their ass because they burned an LSU flag in the middle of the ring.
Nah, they didn't burn an LSU flag in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, they did.
No, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
No. That can't be true. And they made a lot of their lives?
Yep.
Fuck that. I'm glad I wasn't on that card.
I wasn't.
Would have been some smoke in the city, and it wouldn't have been coming from that goddamn flag. I'd have turned baby that night.
Yeah, I know.
We burned the LSU flag. But no, that's good for them. That's how you get heat. I ain't mad at them. Well, who are they working?
Herman and Mustang and Americos.
Wait. But that, did I see Mustang Mike with a superhero gimmick on?
Yes.
These days?
If you've been following Sweet Tan over the last couple of years, he's been doing all the superhero gimmicks. He does the Batman. I think he started off with Superman. Then he, as a heel, then he disappeared, came back as Batman. Then he started coming.
Get it right. He got heat with me. He said, "Ain't Batman. It's Batstan."
Batstan.
I'm like, my bad. Fuck.
Then he came out.
I didn't mean
then
that.
He came out, and then now they got the superheroes going on because Americos is a the American with the American mask and everything, and Herman had the Sweet Tan had the I think Captain America again right now, and so Mustang was like, "Y'all leaving me out?" So I think he went and bought a Flash, like the Flash character. He went,
oh, for fuck's sake.
A singlet made it's full body. That he got the Flash with the mask.
I saw it. It's funny.
It's cool as hell.
I laugh.
What they're doing over there is awesome. It's really. I mean, everything that he's doing. They're doing a whole old school character storylines, and I think Elite's one of the better organizations going on right now in this area because, I mean, it's just overall you got a little bit of everything on those shows. And
be careful when you say that because when I say stuff like that, I get people send me hate mail.
Yeah, but you know me. I get along with everybody.
I do too, man. I ain't never said a bad word. I've not said a bad word.
Stuff like that. I don't get heat for saying stuff like that because, you know, I'm pretty honest about things. You know, if I was a fan, and then everybody knows me, I look at things as if I was a fan sitting in an audience, if I would like it, if I would, you know, continue to go back. And my whole thing is fans. If you satisfy the fans, you're doing good. So they're doing good. They're running one show a month. Every once, it's like every other month they run two shows, and they constant storylines, constant characters going, you know, cycling people in and out, and they doing really good, and it's kind of overflowing into on this side to Voodoo, so it's they kind of working together a little bit, and they're starting to draw more fans over there. They got a steady amount of fans over there, and it's just cool everything they're doing. But everybody knows the most heat that I get is because I'm friends with everybody. That's the biggest heat that I get from everybody.
And I get it too.
Because I'm friends.
We got similarities with that. Well, I'm not gonna say friends with everybody, but my point is, like, what I mean is, you get heat over it. You promote one. Like, for example, and I've said this a bunch of times on the show. I've had X amount of Wildcat guys on. And it's because of that it's like, oh well, you're just pro this, and you don't give credit to nobody else. I'm like, well, no one else has told me anything. I mean, I'd be glad to have other people on. I say it all the time. Byron was on, and Byron, you know, was talking about main event. So what are you talking about, Byron? I'm sorry, Big Daddy Yum Yum. Let me get it right before I get yelled at.
I love Byron.
Right.
The heat that I get, you know, and this is how I explain it to people. Listen, if I'm wrestling for Elite Championship Wrestling, Elite Championship Wrestling is the best around. Straight up. If I'm wrestling for Voodoo Wrestling, that's the place to be. That's the place to go. You know, it's part of the business. If they're promoting you and they're using you, you might as well promote them and use them. You know, that's what I tell people when they come up to me with that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, listen, I wrestle for Elite. I'll wear Elite's T-shirts all over the place. I wrestle for Voodoo. I wrestle for Wildcat. I'll wear their T-shirts everywhere. People ask me about them, I'm going to tell them about it. I'm not going to say nothing negative about any of them. You know?
No, that's my point. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say nothing negative about them. Even companies that I don't work for, they'll ask me about them. I'm like, go check them out. They're cool, you know, because you're your own person. Each fan looks at these shows in a different way. You like what you like. Everybody's different. If everybody was the same, wrestling shows would be freaking boring. And that's
dude. Honestly, even if it's a promotion I don't like, I just don't say nothing. They ask me about it, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know nothing about them. Even if I don't like them, I ain't gonna sit there and throw shade at them or throw salt on them. I'll let you go figure that out. That's your prerogative. I do that because I don't want people coming back to, oh, well, you hating on this. Man, I ain't hating on nobody. I ain't never said one bad word about any of the promotions that, you know, guys that I know. And that's the other part about it. Like, I know guys that work for everybody. What am I going to look like? You know,
that's my biggest thing. That's my biggest thing because I'm friends with everybody. I mean, everybody in Wildcat. I love everybody there. All those guys are so cool as hell. I've worked with them. The respect's there. Same thing with Voodoo. Same thing with Elite. I know all these guys. I've been knowing these guys since I've been in the business, especially most of them. You know, most of the guys. I've been knowing them. You know, me and Luke came into business, pretty much came into business together. And so have you and I. And, you know, so we got a connection at every show that runs around here. There's more than enough work to go around. There's more than enough for the fans to see. And this whole area between Lafayette and New Orleans, there's so much work that's going on, so many wrestling promotions. There's three or four different wrestling promotions, and there's so much wrestling going on that it's enough for every fan. It's just got to get to those fans.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because a lot of fans don't, even like me, that's why it took so long for me to get into the wrestling business, because I was always under the impression it was just WWE and WCW. I didn't know that there was indie wrestling. I didn't know. I had no clue. And, of course, you got to realize it's way before internet, so.
The internet completely changed it. It actually, to me, I've said this on my show a bunch of times, the internet at a time was really, really, really destroying it. For a while it was really, really destroying it, but now it's like, to me, that the people that are the drizzling shits that shouldn't be in a ring and shouldn't have rings, now to me it's starting to sway to where now the quality independent promotions are rising to the top, and Facebook and Twitter and things like that are helping that out. Whereas originally the internet was just tearing down independent wrestling, tearing down wrestling in general, because you had every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there starting a promotion. Now you still got that, but fans kind of are more smart, not that they're smart to the business as much as they're smart to, oh, okay, this is just some jabroni out there running the show. They don't have no talent. They don't have no quality.
Yeah, they start seeing people going into Walmart and buying the Affliction shirts and wearing a pair of, you know, oversized jeans and tennis shoes and going up there and calling themselves something, you know. They just go to Walmart and one of them MMA shirts and put on a pair of gloves, and they think they're a wrestler. And people are seeing that, going, this guy doesn't look like a wrestler.
Yeah.
It's another thing. You know, a lot of guys, I worked a lot of damn good quality shows in my career, and I've worked a lot of damn shitty shows in my career. But, I mean, if you call me to book me to do something, I usually go. You know, if it's enough money and it's worth my while, I'll go. A lot of people, I used to get heat for that too. I used to go to these shit shows. I go to the shit shows because the talent may be shit, but if those fans leave and they say, damn, that fucking show sucked, but that dude in the black and yellow mask beat the piss out of that guy. If they remember that black and yellow mask and remember the guy Minotaur, then I've done my job. That's what I went there to do, and that's what I've done. That's always been my argument about, you know, these shitty shows. Either way, there's going to be fans there, so you might as well, if they're going to pay you to go, you might as well go there and give it 100% for those fans. Like I said, I'm in it for the fans. If the fans don't like your product, they're going to let you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I always said that too. I did it for the fans. I mean, as much as I was a heel and people hated me, even to this day, there's a ton of Facebook friends I have that I know only through years of wrestling that friended me and were like, I used to watch you back in the day. And I'm like, holy shit, it's kind of cool, man, because it's like, hell, I wasn't even on really major TV. No shot at Saxon, because I'm sure he'll fucking, oh,
brother, I put you on TV in late 1998, brother, for 2 years. You were working for me.
I'm sorry. It was regional, and I did a bunch of jobs, Mark. Thanks. But anyway, yeah. Oh, shit. Anyway, no. Man, you got to show up. You got to make a name for yourself. And I agree. I mean, to a point, and you do get older, and you're like, you don't want to be on crappy shows. But I know what you mean. You go out there, you do a good job. People remember you. So, hey, but we got to start wrapping this thing up just based on time. That 42 minutes went by quick, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
But I know you're you just started your Facebook Minotaur page. I mean, I know you got your personal one, but you kind of transitioning everything to that, right? So you want to tell the fans about that and Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, you could just look me up as Minotaur the Beast on Facebook. Instagram is at Bullstrong. And
Damn, you on Instagram now?
Yeah, I've been on Instagram for a couple of years.
I didn't know that. Been?
Oh, yeah, you're in Dallas.
I don't know. Dude, I'm on Instagram. I've been having one, but literally just kind of jumped on and started adding people recently. But so Beast Minotaur on.
If you're in the New Orleans area, there's more than enough shows going on down here. If there's any fans out there that attend the New Orleans area, there's more than enough shows that going on around here. It's really good quality shows. The talent-wise that everybody's using is top-notch, straight up. It's awesome shows. And especially the ones that I'm on, of course, even better. So, I mean, if you're in the New Orleans area, hit one of these independent shows. You won't be disappointed on anything because this area is starting to look up again. It really is. Between everybody, I don't want to say fighting back and forth, but competition back and forth is good. And I think it's working out pretty good because everybody's starting to draw and have really good shows and top-notch shows.
I hear that. And you're on Twitter too, right?
I mean, I barely ever use it. I rarely use it.
Okay. All right.
But I can't even think of the
You don't even know your at. That's a damn shame.
Yeah. That's how long it's been since I've been on Twitter.
You old fart, dude. You just don't like technology. But anyway.
Yeah, it's just technology. I get used to it.
Oh, dude, you ain't kidding, man. So, well, man, can you imagine, like, 20 years from now when these kids start playing with the stuff that they'll have, and we'll be like, fuck, man, we're all farts, dude. We're just tore up, man. Do you even know? So the next one's in September. You're talking about Voodoo.
Yeah,
and
Voodoo. I mean, they can look up Voodoo Wrestling on Facebook, and they usually post the shows and the posters and everything. And they can look up Voodoo Wrestling on Facebook, Elite Championship Wrestling on Facebook. They usually post a lot, too, on their shows. Usually, Voodoo runs the third weekend of every month, and Elite runs on Sundays. I don't know which Sunday because it varies all the time, but, I mean, it's everything's on a Facebook page. They post all kinds of stuff on there. But, yeah, I should be coming back. That's the reason why I was out so long because the recovery for the hernia was only 2 weeks. But I think they're waiting to finish off these angles they got before they bring me back, which is awesome to me because it gives me a little time to drop some of this weight.
Fat ass.
Hey, it's working out. I'm doing it.
I hear you. I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you. You hit that cardio, dude. That's all you got to do.
Oh, I do. That's what I'm doing.
That cardio, man, don't get me wrong. I lift, but at my age, like, I'm like, fuck, man, that lifting's all right, and I do it, but I do more cardio than lifting because my whole thing is keeping my body weight in check, keeping my body, my body fat.
I've got the size. I've got the size. It's just got to cut down the body fat a little bit.
Yeah. So what you're saying is your singlet's kind of snug around your waist right now.
It's falling. No, it's falling off me now because I got the weight off me. So,
okay.
I'm waiting on my new stuff to come in. Also, I got this T-shirt company that's been all over the independents, all over America. It's called Strong Style Brand. Go hit that up. Go buy some T-shirts. Tell them I sent you.
All right. Well, y'all heard it. So Strong Style Brand, tell them Minotaur sent you. All right, man. So hold on 1 second, fans. We're going to turn it back over to the review portion and the question portion where Doc Turner and I take y'all questions. So. Hang tight 1 second, and we'll get right to it.
All right, fans, I'm laughing my ass off right now. So that was me and literally one of my best friends in the business that is still working independence to this day. That was my boy and great friend Brian Falcon, a.k.a. the Beast Minotaur on the independence circuit. Just a quick reminder, if you want to donate to the podcast, just click the little sign-up button on the Booking the Territory podcast page. Hey, we'll take $1, we'll take whatever, we'll take 50 cents. We really don't care. We're just trying to help offset production costs, so we appreciate it. And again, once we get the $50, whoever, you'll be in that raffle to get a free T-shirt. So I'll keep you all posted. Before we get into the Twitter, Facebook questions and comments, I just want to say thanks again to Bezel Choices. Jason Smith from Farmers and TNA's Wrestling Palace for sponsoring the podcast. And don't forget to send us your Twitter, Facebook comments and topics for the week at BTT_podcast. And we appreciate it. No matter if it's ROH, TNA, WWE, since that's mostly what you fools watch. And with all that being said, Doc, hold on before I get to you, but all right now, since we got that out the way, Hard Body Harper, what is up, my fellow member of the great Who Dat Nation?
Who Dat, baby? 13-3, I'm telling you, 13-3.
13-3?
Yeah, right.
Playoffs! 13-3. Okay, so we already know how Harper feels before we get into our wrestling topic for tonight. Doc, how have you been this week? In particular, how was your Sunday evening this weekend?
Sunday was great. The Rangers, the Texas Rangers clinched the AL West. We're getting ready for the playoffs that start on Thursday. Things couldn't be better. Baseball season is still going in Dallas, Texas.
The Rangers.
Hey, and you know what?
That's what we're going to go with?
You know what I got on TV right now that's about to start up? Very first preseason game for the Mavericks. I told you months ago how I felt about DeAndre Jordan. We don't need him. We're ready. We're going to start getting focused with Rick Carlisle and Dirk and the boys right here tonight. So, yeah, let's have a scholarly, intelligent wrestling discussion. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to completely ignore Sunday night. What we waited all day for.
What happened Sunday night?
Oh, okay. You no-selling salty son of a bitch. It's cool. It's cool.
Harper just told you. Are we
talking about Who Dat, and you got not, and you're just going to completely avoid the subject, aren't you?
Are we talking about where y'all put swamp water down on our end of the field so our running back tore up his knee?
Yeah.
Sounds like a soft bastard to me. Maybe he needs to hit the fucking weight
room
a little
bit more.
All
the penalties. I swear to God, y'all put that bounty back in place, and we're trying to hurt
him
out there.
Almost
bounty,
lost
huh?
With the damn field goal.
Hold on. We tried to give it away, Harper, with the field goal. And now
I swear to God,
about
I thought
bounty.
It was like one of those Buffalo Wild Wings commercials. How they try to get the guy to miss the field.
Yeah.
That's what I thought I was watching.
Clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But Doc apparently thinks there was a bounty on players at this point. He's got more excuses. Next, you're going to tell me, oh, well, we didn't have Dez Bryant and Sean Lee got hurt.
Hey, Romo, where's Troy Aikman?
Oh, fucking blow me, Doc. Jesus Christ.
I figured something out Sunday night.
Oh, God.
I'm pretty sure I could outrun Brandon Whedon in a foot race.
Probably.
That wouldn't be too difficult. You can probably crawl faster than he can run. Oh, Jesus.
So here's the thing.
Okay, I'm listening. Here's the thing.
Fuck football. It's a work. You've been saying it. I mean,
Saints.
I quit.
Hold on, dude. Y'all were, what was it, 2-0? Everything
on top of the world.
On top of the world. Things were great.
Wrong.
Things were great.
Wrong.
They were talking Super Bowl.
They should have lost to the Giants, too. So they got.
Oh, dude. They'd be 1-3 right
now.
They ain't one game. It's a bunch of bullshit.
No, garbage.
Garbage. Just garbage.
We're better than DeMarco Murray. That's all I can say.
No. Don't change the subject now. So, okay, this is a pro wrestling podcast, so we got to get into some pro wrestling
talk. Yeah, let's
talk
about Raw, because that was an awesome WrestleMania
moment. I'm sure
you
thoroughly enjoyed Raw after seeing your Cowboys get their asses whacked on Sunday night.
And I ain't even turning the TV on tonight after the last two nights.
All right, let me tell you something.
I ain't in a good mood. I plunked down $780 on my bullshit car today. The Cowboys season's in the toilet. The WWE's just fucking boring as all hell. I don't have just a whole lot of patience with you two fuck nuts. So if we don't get into this and have a good discussion, I might just hang up.
Oh, shit.
Shit, he'd do us a favor.
You can say, that's real classy, or put a bait, whatever it is y'all are going to say. But I'm up to my eyelids already. I'm at an 8 right now. All day long. Mike Mills comes into my office. Me and Mike Mills comes to my office. He goes, please don't shoot on the fans tonight. I need them. I don't want them to turn on us because it's the best feeling I've had since I wrestled in front of 38 people in Chalmette one day.
They buy your mamas.
So let me tell you this, Four Finger Discount or Thog or Cordell or Soulstorm or whoever else is out there, y'all can go to hell too. I'm pissed.
He's fucking salty. Behind them cowboys. Ride them, cowboys. Okay, let's get into some wrestling talk. Tuxedo Mask 23 said, I'm watching 100% of my
Twitter. There are 22 other tuxedo masks? God dang, what a dumbass name.
This is Twitter. He says, I watch 100%. No, what he's saying is, 100% of my Twitter line is watching a disappointing Raw tonight, and they're bitching about it, and they'll bitch about it until no tomorrow. And watch again next week. They'll do the same thing. It never fails. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, yeah. He just explained Doc Turner. Fucking complain. Motherfucker complained for 4 hours straight today. Raw sucked. Raw was this. Raw was that. Fucking terrible. Blah, 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 blah. That motherfucker will have the DVR running next Monday night to watch all 3 hours.
And how is that different than you, Mike?
Hey, I'm trying to freaking record a great podcast for these fans to enjoy. That's my reason for watching it. Plus, I'm a fan of wrestling, man.
Fans,
I mean, I was an indie guy, and I like to see some of these guys succeed, man. Shit.
Fans, that's not how he talks about you from Wednesday through Monday at work. These marks, these bitches, they're always jacking with me. I hate them. I wish they'd leave me alone.
I'm sure they believe.
I wish you had to deal with it.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay.
Look, I'm dealing with my own set of fans. I don't have time to deal with your bullshit, peon.
Yeah, because clearly you've taken a bump in front of you know, two people in your life.
What do y'all get together at the holidays and show each other the one dime each y'all made in the wrestling business?
That's real classy.
Yeah, for real. I made two dimes.
I made two times. All right. So at Thog94 says, my boy Conman A10 is waiting for the Bella Twins to come on so he can go get some food. He didn't fall far from the tree. The only thing worse than seeing the Bellas on TV, on my TV, is seeing them live. Because, you know, he was at Raw last night. He was tweeting about it.
And I'm the mark? God dang, I don't pay for WWE.
Why do you treat the fans so bad? By the way, Adam is back, and he did send something. I'm going to get to it in a minute. No, Harper, wait till you read it. Wait till you hear what this fool said. He went off on a tirade. Anyway, at Cordell Kevin, even after his win, would Matt Hardy even be in the top five contenders in WWE or Ring of Honor? And his Chris Silvio section for Ohio Valley is good, but is anybody better than Paul Heyman at hyping a match in the business? Harper, anybody better than Heyman?
No.
Besides you?
No. Hell no.
Nah. Heyman's printing money. That's how good
he
is.
He can make a match with freaking Iron Mike Sharp versus Coco Beware sound like, you know, a main event WrestleMania match.
Main event, dude. Hey, I haven't told you about that card I was on with Coco Beware.
Nuh-uh.
Della talked about it, too, I think, on a podcast. She was like, yeah, they were like, well, where's the bird at? The motherfucker didn't have the bird with him. He's like, the bird costs more.
He died bird in a fire, huh?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure he's at one, but yeah, he didn't have the bird with him.
Old Frankie died.
Frankie. Old Frankie. Hey, is anybody better than Heyman, though, Doc?
Man, he got all those boys to work for free at the NDCW. That ought to answer your question right there.
That's wrong. What about Matt Hardy? Is he even in top five contenders in WWE or ROH?
Are they doing competitive eating these days?
That's real nice.
That's real.
What are you trying to say?
I mean, feel like me. Oh, that's what.
Can you tell this dude Matt is cool as all outdoors?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. That's real classy. See, that's the type of shit I talk about. When I talk about all these other podcasts, you get these friggin' J-Bros who get on there, and, fuck that guy, he ain't shit. Man, if Matt Hardy was in Doc Turner's face, he'd be like, oh, yes, sir, how you doing?
Oh, can I take a picture with you? Yeah.
I can personally guarantee that wouldn't happen.
Right.
You're too smart for that, right? You got that PhD, man. You don't take pictures. People take pictures with you. You don't take pictures
for
with them,
for
right?
a fee.
For a fee. Jesus Christ. God help me on this podcast tonight. At Big J Mon says, who do you, this is a legit question. I like this one. Who do you think wins between Bayley and Sasha tomorrow night at NXT TakeOver? Doc?
For a while, I would have said Bayley so that Sasha could be freed up to go do her thing on the main roster, but they're messing that Divas thing or women's division up so bad on the main roster. That may not happen.
No. Harbor, you ain't watching NXT in a while.
Hell no.
You know what they talking about, right?
Grown-ass man. I don't watch that. That's for children.
Man. Oh, shit. That's going to get some major heat on the podcast. Fuck. Hey, since Harper has no comment on it, I'm going to take Bayley only because she's the one in NXT, and I just don't see them giving it back to Sasha. Anyway, at JR the Heel, I wonder how salty and mentally irregular Doc Turner is going to be on this week's podcast. Should be very interesting. Doc, you want to address that since you tried to like downplay it completely and talk about the damn Rangers, which I'm a Rangers fan, but I mean, shit, you tried to avoid the topic and then you blamed it on, you know, bounties again and whatnot. Seriously?
Everything I do is interesting, first of all. Now, second of all, let me ask you this. If New Orleans is such a great place, why does Sean Payton still live in Dallas?
He's a millionaire. He's probably got fucking 10 houses, asshole.
10 houses.
I mean, come on, dude. He's a fucking millionaire. Think about it. The dude got suspended for a year and had to give up $5 million of income, and he doesn't fucking scratch his nuts about it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck that. They said I did bounties. Fuck you, Goodell. Whatever.
Peace out. I mean, I'm going home.
South. I'm going home and fuck me some bitches.
God dang. Talk about classy.
Well, dude. Hey, Harper, isn't that when he got divorced? Remember he got the, like,
I couldn't tell you. He's divorced?
Yeah, him and his wife split that bounty year. Dude.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, man. Oh, come on, dude. You know how much ass he gets?
Booty, 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 booty. Yeah, probably.
Oh, I won a first Super Bowl in New Orleans? God damn, that dude's printing pussy. Sheesh. All right. At Jimmy Evans says, Matt Hardy, TNA World Champ. Yeah. Okay, Jimmy.
Yeah, rock it out.
Doc, comment? Anything?
TNA still alive? They're still in business?
I don't know. Somebody tweeted me right before the show started about did you see the TNA story about Matt Hardy? Supposedly Matt Hardy is
he's the champion like, now, huh?
Yeah, he's the champ, but he relinquished the belt today for some reason. I don't know if it's a shoot or part of the storyline or what, but yeah. I was like, I have not heard of this and I don't know what you're talking about. And the person messaged me back saying, oh, you just got to go search such and such.
No.
I'm like, okay, dude, I don't really have time.
Yeah.
It's not a priority in my life.
Germanboypornography.com is not going to tell me about Matt Hardy.
I'm like, it's got to be a part of the storyline. I mean, come on, dude. He just got it. What do you mean he's giving it up and quitting TNA? Who knows? This dude may be right. He may be one of those guys who sits behind his computer like Doc Turner and watches wrestling and beats his meat and jacks off and, yeah.
Wow, that's what
about.
He does?
That's what he told me.
Hamburger Helper, you don't listen to him.
That's real classic.
Yeah, really.
I'm looking up here because I'm the only one that knows how to use a computer, apparently.
I'm trying to run the controls on a podcast.
This thing looks like it's kayfabe, brah.
What the hell is that supposed
to
be? Can you? I mean, I know we're in the wrestling business.
I hate people that talk like that, man.
Oh, my God.
Pop. Kayfabe.
Pop. Worst. Kayfabe. Worst.
It's like, go sit down.
I'm already sitting down, motherfucker.
Well, stand up. I go jog around a block a little. Something.
Kayfabe. Pop.
Yeah.
So is it legit or is it bullshit?
I think it's storyline.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this guy fell for it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I literally, when he was messaging me, I'm hearing the fishing line and the hook. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so now we get to my buddy at Clifton611 says Raw is horrible. Doc has pretty much went on that rampage saying it was horrible. Dude, it was just another 3 hours of the same old thing. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to shit on him. You know? I mean, I got through it.
The thing Saturday night. They had it at a Madison Square Garden or whatever.
Yeah. It wasn't. That was all right, man. I was cool with that. It was good. I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing in sliced bread, but,
was it,
you know,
it was
good.
Like a house show, huh, basically?
Pretty much, yeah. I thought it was good. Doc didn't see it. I saw it. I was watching it. I was watching the LSU game while I was watching it. It was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard people, like, crapping on it, but I'm like, what do you want them to do, dude? They gave you 3 hours of freaking wrestling on Monday. They gave you another two on Thursday, and they gave you another two tonight. I mean,
them bitches got to be tired after all that.
Yeah. Dude, they got to be exhausted.
How was the Big Show and Brock?
I thought it was fine. I mean, he took a million German suplexes, which...
Damn, he did?
I mean, it wasn't a million, but he took a bunch. He took enough, dude. For somebody his size, he took enough.
Wow.
Yeah, that kind of shot... I mean, I kind of knew he was going to take a few, but I was like, holy shit. Damn. He took it sideways. He didn't take it like, you know...
Oh, yeah, walking. Right.
When I say sideways, it wasn't quite sideways, yeah. But he had like a slight angle, because, dude, you know what kind of strength you need to freaking fling over Big
yeah.
Show? Holy crap.
And even if
hell
he's
no.
helping you, it's still...
yeah, dude, even if he's, you know, doing what he's supposed to do, yeah. That's still hard. All right, Doc, well, here's Adam. Adam says, nice offer on possibly coming on the show. I only tuned in because a friend of mine told me you guys had been discussing me. And this is where it gets good,
Doc. It's already good. He's claiming to have a friend.
Jesus Christ. He says, and this is in caps, well, fuck you, Doc Turner. Don't you worry about my balls. I'm more of a man than you ever will be. I listen to your weekly commentary on this show, and I swear I think to myself, the hamster wheel is still moving, but the damn hamster is dead.
Whatever. Whatever, bro.
here's the thing. You two think I'm a internet wrestling community, never taking a bump, sit behind the keyboard kind of guy, right?
We don't think we know.
Yeah,
so he's the guy attacking the guy who's never taken a bump. What does that make him? A punk bitch. Next.
That's really what you got to say about
that's it?
God. Adam,
well, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Drive to his house and murder his family, Benoit style? Shit.
That's real classy.
You know what you ought to do? Call his house phone up at midnight and he'll wake up his mama.
Who the fuck has a house phone?
I bet this guy does. I bet you this guy does. He has a house phone, and his mama's wearing a muumuu watching American Idol or something on a sofa.
Wearing one of those grandma house coats?
Yeah.
Those old school.
The phone's ringing.
Get the phone,
the
you
phone's
dumbass.
Ringing.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
Fucking phone.
You think he uses dial-up internet, too?
Oh, God. I hope.
I mean, I'm just curious. No. Maybe that's why he don't want to come on the show, because he knows, like, we'll have a call through Skype. And I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. All right. that's some funny shit, though. Bruce on Facebook says...
Bruce? Whose name is Bruce? God dang. You don't
Springsteen.
Hear that.
Is it Springsteen? If it is, that's badass.
That is, man. We got some badass listeners. I'm sorry, fans.
When I print it off, I just copy and paste the first name. I don't do the whole gimmick.
Yeah.
What if two Bruces, Bruce Lee? What if Bruce Lee and Bruce Springsteen both send us?
What does that have to do with wrestling? The guy's name is Bruce.
What does any of this have to do with wrestling at this point?
Jesus Christ, man. I just had an intelligent discussion with one of Harper's old, you know, guys that he managed, the Beast Minotaur, and I got to deal with you, Doc Turner, and your stupidity. Anyway, Bruce on Facebook, Harper and Doc need to listen to Mike. Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate that.
No, okay,
that's not Bruce Springsteen.
Total Divas is a great show with great storylines. There you go. He's buying my storylines aspect of... commentary. It's too bad Harper and Doc don't know good entertainment when it slaps the some bitches in the face.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I was laughing my ass off when Dolph told Nikki last week he could be her husband and give her kids, unlike Cena. Yeah. Now, my only comment towards that is, if you watched that shit last week and you still believe that shit is real, you one dumb sumbitch. That had Angle written all over it. That had a storyline written all over it. And Harper, I'm sure you didn't watch, right?
No. I'm grown.
Doc didn't watch either?
No.
Okay, grown-ass man. So anyway, the storyline was, did y'all know, and I talked about this a little last week because, you know, I was educated on the topic, had to do some research before the program, that Dolph Ziggler and Nikki, like, dated for, like, 5-6 years? Like,
sure,
they were together.
You sure wasn't 5-6 minutes in the back of a Raw one night in the back of Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis?
Just saying, Dolph and Nikki dated, and Dolph
said it with everybody in the WWE, apparently, though.
Well, didn't Dolph date that comedian?
Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
He hit that, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know who he hit and who he didn't. I'm just telling you, he hit Nikki for 5 years, according to what he said.
Lucky bastard.
So anyway, don't let our listener Thog 94 tell you that. He can't stand it, man. He's
God,
ready to see
bro, she can. She can get me in a sunset flip any day of the week, man. She's Lord.
So we got fans that hate beautiful women.
I know, that's
crazy.
So
we have cultivated a wonderful fan base, Mike.
So Harper, what you're saying is, as long as you got a face, she's got a place to sit.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's real classy.
I think that's she's the highest classy. One there.
Out of all. I can't go there.
Who do you think is?
I think Hamburger Helper's right.
She's not the hottest one there. I mean, I ain't knocking her, dude. She ain't the hottest one there.
Oh,
Who's hotter?
I'm going to keep that under wraps for a little
while. What, are you married or something? Come on.
Yeah, my wife listens to this. I don't need Look, man, I plead the fifth, all right? If you don't know what the fifth is, you need to look that son of a bitch up on the internet.
Let me tell you this, though. If Maria came back, she'd be the
hottest.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. Ugh.
We talking about Maria Kanellis?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to plead the fifth, too, you know. And my wife, sometimes, she listens to the program, you know. She always checks on us. I'm listening with y'all, too, idiot. Y'all idiots.
Always like the one that's with John Morrison. What the hell is her name?
Melina?
She was bad.
Yeah.
Yes. Melina was bad. Mm-hmm.
You ain't telling us because your wife. You just don't want to tell us because it's really Luna Vachon was your favorite.
No, man, now you see, now I got to come clean. It was Moolah.
No.
Moolah, especially older Moolah.
Yo.
Mae Young was fucking tight, too. God damn.
When she birthed.
When I saw her and fucking Mark Henry in bed together, I damn near skeeted all over the place.
Oh, God.
Real classy, right?
Yeah, Mark? For real. I thought you were a Catholic.
Okay, let's move past this. Right. Anyway, so husband, yeah. Nikki told Cena he would give her kids in. I'm sorry, Dolph told Nikki he would give her kids and get married to her, and John couldn't do that, like literally. So yeah, come on now. If you believe that, I got the fishing pole and the fishing line and.
Did Terrence on Facebook? Did your wife know it's a work?
Oh, she thinks it's legit. I'm like, that's a fucking work.
Wait a minute. You're making fun of her for not knowing that it's a work, but you wouldn't tell us who you thought was hot.
What the hell has that got to do with anything?
But now you're making fun of her.
She just walked in the room, so I'm going to have to get quiet on that topic.
Hey.
We're talking about Total Divas. Anyway, moving right along. I got a headset on, so she can't hear y'all.
What's up, girl?
So stupid. So Terrence on Facebook says, I bet Mike jumped up and down in his living room when Natalya finally won a match on Raw. Not really.
I was surprised.
I was too, and it was like, damn, they just did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of was too. What'd you think, Doc?
I was fast-forwarding it a lot.
Really? That's real classy.
I had important Doc stuff to do.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry. Gregory on Facebook. Boy, Stephanie sure was sour. What the hell is wrong with her? Can she not feel all that New Day power? I see what you did there, Gregory.
Stephanie McMahon, don't you dare be sour.
Jesus. I don't know, Harper, did you see that part?
I saw, like, the ending of it.
It was lame. It was. Doc loved it, though, because he's a mark for the New Day now, even though I told him from day one they would be somebody, and he kind of really didn't believe me. Peter on Facebook. Is Stephanie a heel, a face, or just on the rag?
Whoa, that's real nice.
On the rag? Wouldn't it be on her rag? What do these people write us?
That's your people.
God help me. Is Stephanie a heel, a face, or just on the rag? Hey, this is one of those guys, Harper, who's got to use that wrestling legal. Oh, a heel, a face.
Pop.
Yeah, he's probably one of those. K-fabe. He's like Doc Turner. I bet you he's one of Doc Turner's friends.
Is a wrestling term. So broke, living at home.
Broke, living at home with mom and grandma. Cecil on Facebook. Oh, shit. If Roman Reigns was 2 inches smaller than Orton from last week, how many inches smaller is Neville than Sheamus? Doc, this is one of those guys who I think he must be, got his tape measure out, and he's, I guess, measuring, I don't know what. You have any comments on this one, Doc? I'm just curious.
Oh, man. No.
How many inches smaller is Neville than Sheamus?
I wouldn't touch that with a mini-inch pole.
Jesus Christ. That just is awkward.
But in all seriousness, man, putting Neville in that match, man, he did look tiny. And, they just don't.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? He's like 5'8". He's probably like my height.
Couldn't they build him up a little bit before they put him in with somebody that big?
I don't know. It kind of reminded me what they did to Daniel Bryan at that time with Sheamus and friggin' WrestleMania that year. When
the match was like 10 seconds long or something.
Literally. It's like friggin' 8 seconds. He went out there, whooped his ass, and pinned him. I was like, holy shit, did they really just do that? I mean, that's what it looked like. It didn't look like anything else. It wasn't anything original.
Yeah.
I ain't knocking. Like, I'm not knocking what they did. I just was like, oh, okay. Good. Let's move on. Next match.
Fast forward.
Randall on Facebook. How many WWE superstars do you guys legit give an F about? That's not a legit question. I mean, Harper, you a fan just like the rest of us?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of guys you like up there. I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I like to see everyone succeed.
Not me, man. I hate to see anybody succeed.
That's because you're an idiot.
I even get mad at myself, and I'm a successful motherfucker.
That's
real stupid. But anyway, yeah. I mean, like, okay, so I'm going to name some guy. Brock, I give a F about him. I mean, I give a F about Roman Reigns especially.
Reigns, he don't do anything for me.
Me either.
No?
He has no personality, man. It's just like,
I thought he was like, I'm going to beat you, and it's going to be over for good.
You guys are sounding like the internet idiots right now with that. I don't like Roman Reigns. He's not a tough guy.
He don't have personality.
He's plenty tough. I'm sure he could whip my ass in under 2 seconds. But I don't like watching him whip other people's asses.
Hey, but how much of that is how they pigeonhole them?
I think that's what they tell him what to say.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's probably can't go out there and show his personality. I mean, truth be told, you know, I like Cena, but if your name ain't John Cena, you ain't getting no free reign on what you want to say when you walk out there.
So let me ask you this, bro. How did talking to Michael Tarver for 2 hours change your opinion on your hero, John Cena?
Look, I still respect Cena, but I don't. Some things did make me question, like, why would he treat Tarver the way he treated them? Like, why? Like, not doubting Tarver. I'm completely on board, but I'm like, what? Why would you do that to somebody? What? Like, does it make you feel that much bigger? They did, like, in talking to Tarver, It is very clear if Cena does not like you up there, he's even if he likes you, he might treat you like crap. I don't like that. That's kind of foul, dude. That didn't sit well with me. So I mean, I still respect him. I still respect Cena, but I mean, he's not the first guy that I've actually heard say that. He's the first guy that I've talked to that said that. But it does make me question kind of, you know,
what he did to him.
So he's booed.
Oh, yeah, dude, you got to go back and listen to it if you have. Yeah, yeah. He gets into it like in part one, kind of towards the midway through when I'm talking to him, and then on part two, it starts off with him talking about Cena. But basically,
he
just abused.
You need to listen to the podcast that you're on. We shouldn't have to explain the podcast inside the podcast.
Well, I mean, if anybody's listening to this right now and you didn't listen to that, you're crazy, man. You got to go back and listen to it because it was some legit, you know, hardcore stuff behind the scenes with John Cena and probably the story of John Cena you have never heard. Like that, and that's straight up, and that's not coming from my opinion. I'm taking that from what Tarver said about his experiences with Cena while he was in WWE. Let's just say they weren't. And now the thing was, I think he closed it out. He was like, I ain't got no heat with him. You know, it's cool. We matter of fact, he said that they supposedly like squashed it by the time he had left. But yeah, it was some interesting stuff, man. It was some interesting stuff. I'm surprised more people haven't actually asked me or tweeted me, oh, what do you think about your boy Cena now? Just based on that.
Yeah, because we, you know, they give us such intelligent questions all the time anyway, you know.
They do. And the next one from Maurice on Facebook says, where's Cesaro?
I heard he's in trouble.
I don't read the dirt sheets like you, Doc Turner.
Oh, I pour through them all day. In fact, I have a poor work at
you do
because of it.
You actually do. You pour the Harper, this motherfucker reads the dirt sheets all day long.
Yeah. All day long. All day long.
Dude, the only difference between him and the internet clowns that we talk about is he's married. He doesn't live at home with mama. He's actually got a wife and family. But he reads the dirt sheets like
and I got
he's got them all bookmarked.
And I got
yeah, I can't
got,
read that stuff, man, because it's like
I can't either.
I honestly don't care.
Either, man.
I got Cheeto dust all over them from all the Cheetos, and it was just internet dirt sheets versus comic books all the time.
Dude, he's got them. That dude, he's got them bookmarked. You name it, he's got it. Every last one of them. Douglas on Facebook. I like this one. More referee scandals in Monday Night Football last night. Mike, why can't the NFL get it right? Because if you heard the opening of the show before we started and I started talking to Minotaur, the NFL is a fucking work and it always will be from here on out as long as you got that fucking scumbag commissioner making $40 million a year.
$40
million. That's a lot of damn money.
That's a lot of fucking money, dude. I mean, he's booking the territory like a fucking indie promoter. Except not making that much money. Dude, it's bullshit. Did you see what happened, Harper, at the end of the Seattle game?
I saw it, and I was like, you got to be kidding me, because he knocks the ball out, and it's the ref looking at him. He's like, nah,
It's a work,
yeah,
dude.
It's like, what?
Watch that. It's not a work. Like, for real. Didn't that, I mean, that reminds me of a fucking pro wrestling referee that just is like, oh,
there was a ref bump.
Yeah. Fuck, man, they could have put Saeed out there and he could have been done. He's a fucking great ref. Shout out, Saeed, man. You got to mention on the podcast, dude.
Saeed, like, Amabusa.
He's one of the Wildcats.
Yeah.
He could have did a better job, Doc. He could have, man. That's... Oh, God, I see, man, I didn't want to get this worked up, but I hate fucking football.
Here you go, man, the NFC, defending NFC champs were in trouble, and they got fished out.
Fucking bailed out.
That's what it looked like, huh?
and right now, it's Tuesday night when we're watching, when we're recording this, and the Yankees are playing a one-game playoff at home. Don't be surprised if the strike zone starts getting bigger and smaller and the Yankees favor
by
the
fifth.
Oh, fuck,
man. They were calling strikes.
Yeah.
They were calling strikes when the Astros took off from Houston.
That's right. Every batter started the game for the Astros with an 0-1 count.
Yeah.
0-1. fucking bullshit. God, man, sports is such a fucking work. Okay, last question, fellas. So, yeah, it's from our friend Chip on Facebook.
God dang, let's just go ahead and call it a night. I don't want to hear from this.
Well, he doesn't direct anything at Harper, so he must like you, Harper.
Yeah.
He says, both of you guys, he's talking to – well, I guess he kind of is talking to you, Harper, because he says, both of you guys, teams royally suck. You could combine the Saints and Cowboys together, and they couldn't beat the Steelers right now. Hashtag get some. Hashtag Doc Turner is Skip Bayless's son. And by the way, if I hadn't already mentioned this, the only thing that makes this show halfway tolerable is the fact that you guys suck so bad, it's actually kind of funny. Okay. Hey, man, I ain't complaining. He's tuning in weekly, Doc. What do you think?
Oh, I'm like, sorry. I wasn't listening. What?
Okay. Fuck. Well, he might, like I said, he doesn't like you. He thinks you're basically Skip Bayless' son.
Get in fucking line, dude. I don't give a shit.
What does hashtag get some mean?
It means, I think he's like calling you out.
Oh, Mr. Internet Tough Guy.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I got to tell you guys this.
This is funny.
Man, the Saints are a terrible football team. And right now the Cowboys are a terrible football team. And that football game the other night was god awful.
It was worse. It was worse than Raw, wasn't it?
Well, for me, yeah. But I mean, that was not the NFL putting its best foot forward on a primetime national stage.
How many goddamn penalties can you call in a game?
Dude, we had
like seriously.
We had 18 in a victory against Philadelphia earlier this year, so don't ask that question unless you're ready for the answer.
I mean, like every single play, I was like, oh, there's a flag. We can't celebrate yet. Oh, another flag. Yeah. Oh, flag. Oh, hold on, flag. Wait, flag on the guy shaking his belly during the field goal. well, really? Hey, I saw that one too, Harper, before you posted that.
Yeah. I said, wait, what the hell is that guy doing?
he was working, brother. he was working. Hey, all right, Doc. Well, that's our last question topic for the week. So, Harper, I know I saw the announcement yesterday, November 14th. What, 13th or 14th?
Yeah, it's the 14th. We got Ron Simmons coming in. Yeah.
Damn. Ron freaking Simmons is going to be at Wildcat on the 14th. So if you're in NOLA a month from now,
the first African American heavyweight champion of the world.
That's right.
Damn. Nah, that's good, man. I was glad to see that. I'm sure he's only the first of maybe another announcement or two. But
yeah,
man, who knows what. I know. Yeah, Doc, what else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Hey, man, I saw you and your little harem of bitches on Twitter the other day talking about some sort of pop quiz on ROH.
Oh, yeah.
So, whatever, motherfuckers.
I forgot about dude, I got another question, but we're going to get to that before we get out of here. I did actually get one from Ryan on Facebook, and I almost missed it. I don't know how I skipped this one. Ryan says, so, Doc, you sound like a 110-pound jabroni who wears glasses and dresses really, really bad. What are you actually a doctor of? That's quite amusing to me. I want to issue you a challenge since you've never taken a bump. I will gladly serve as the first person to ever bump you at the next Rack and Roll Pool Hall in Kiln, Mississippi, on any Sunday of your liking for Southern Championship Wrestling. So he says he'll bump you, dude.
First of all, no bumps. Second of all, Mike, for a shoot, I'm going to use one of y'all's ignorant terms, for a shoot, am I a legit doctor?
Yes, you are.
All right.
Are you really? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they've been lowering the standards.
Nunez?
I got in under affirmative action. So I try not to find myself in Mississippi on Sunday or any other day. So no glasses, weigh 215 pounds, a buff, cut, chiseled superstar.
Lying.
But no bumps, my friend.
No bumps. No bumps.
You can pin me. You can pin me and pay me, but no bumps.
So yeah. Hey, THLG 94, you sent me a bunch of Ring of Honor stuff. I promise you we're going to get to that next week because it's not time sensitive. We're kind of running out of time right now. But I do have it, and I will give Doc his pop quiz next week related to Ring of Honor. We kind of got carried away.
What kind of worthless life do you have if that's, you got the free time to write another man a pop quiz when you ain't a teacher and you ain't in school?
Man, you treat the fans bad, dude. Damn, you a fucking salty, miserable fuck. Do you know that?
I know you're worried they'll all go away. What about my fans? I haven't had them since I was in the ring, flopping around like a fish out of water. I don't have that problem. I don't cater.
Okay.
I don't cater to these morons.
That's true. Hit them with it, Harper.
Yeah, that's real classy.
It's real classy. All right, y'all. Only thing else I got before we get out of here is Doc Turner wants to think he's done with his rants for the week. Make sure you check out ProWrestlingOpinion.com for their write-ups on wrestling-related content related to pretty much every show known to man, whether it's ROH, WWE, TNA. Hell, they report on everything. Check my buddy Nick out that does that. And make sure you are following us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. Submit those questions and topics to us weekly. Other than that, Harper, you got anything else?
Nah, just November 14th is our next show. It's going to be at Meisler where all the rest of them are. So check that out. We're going to have Ron Simmons there. And I'm sure there's going to be some other surprises too. So
you going to get your ass kicked that night?
I'm going to challenge Luke Hawks to a Shrewsbury spelling bee. It's a hair versus hair match.
Something tells you he's still making you mentally irregular. Yeah. Okay. Doc, anything else?
No,
while
I'm done with this
puppy out. Well, thank you for not hanging up. We really appreciate it.
It's been your pleasure.
Okay. Hey, man. Seriously, man. Thanks for not hanging up. All right, y'all, for till next week, for Hard Body Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, myself, Mike Mills, and Doc Turner, you know what we always say before we get out of here. Book it.